Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Hundreds of thousands of people in our state will soon have access to health care. What we know about a Medicaid expansion announcement coming in less than an hour.
Don't interrupt me right now. I'm telling you that right now.
A Johnson County Board of Education meeting gets heated. We'll tell you why these school leaders started yelling at each other.
Well, it's a South Carolina woman died after falling off a steep cliff on Blue Ridge Parkway. What we know about the fall and how first responders found her. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Screaming, yelling, and heated discussions today at a special board meeting called by the Johnson County Board of Education.
That meeting was to release findings from the board's attorney and investigators after a teacher sent a grievance to the board regarding new school board member Michelle Antoine. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is outside the Johnson County Board of Education with details on this. Chelsea.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Michelle Antoine is actually a newly elected school board member. She was recently elected in November, and about 2 weeks ago, on September 12th, she actually filed a lawsuit suing the Johnston County Board of Education and the chair as well. The state superior judge, though, sealed that document, that lawsuit, so we really didn't know anything about what was in it except for today. A little bit of that was revealed. Now, as you mentioned, the board's attorney and investigators discussed a grievance someone made in May against school board member Antoine. One of the allegations states that there was inappropriate collaboration between Antoine, another school member, board member not named, and a teacher in the filing of several false grievances. Now, one of those three allegations filed by the attorney and investigators found that Antoine was not fully truthful in this investigation, and she made inappropriate and disparaging comments about a teacher, also not named. Today's meeting, as you mentioned, lasted less than an hour and was heated all the way through. Take a listen.
Informed person, the most disrespected person, the most unprofessional person that I've ever seen sit on the Board of Education or any board. Don't interrupt me right now. I'm telling you that right now. What are you going to do?
Wait. Just sit down.
Look.
What?
As you can see there, they quickly took a break as the discussions got heated. Now, in this meeting, the school board member, Michelle Antoine, asked if she could respond to these findings by the investigator and the board's attorney. It was decided by a vote of 5-2 that she could answer the report findings, but it had to be in affidavit form. Now, we're still sifting through this report, and we'll have much more online and beginning in our later evening newscasts.
Lot there with those fireworks. Certainly, Chelsea, we appreciate you staying on top of that. Thanks. In less than an hour, we'll learn when Medicaid will expand to hundreds of thousands of people in our state. It comes just days after lawmakers agreed and approved the new budget. WRAL's Laura Levine explains what we can expect from Governor Roy Cooper this afternoon.
Medicaid expansion would have launched October 1st if we wouldn't have had those long negotiations over the budget this summer. Today, Governor Cooper will join the Department of Health and Human Services to announce when Medicaid expansion will be launched here for North Carolinians. On Friday, he did share that he'll allow the budget to become law without his signature, opening up the doorways for Medicaid expansion for more than 600,000 North Carolinians. More than 200,000 of them are right here in Wake County alone. I spoke with Commissioner Matt Calabria earlier this summer when the county had to add more positions to prepare for the influx of applications.
The bottom line is that access to health care is critical. We know it has a ton of benefits. It realizes savings in other areas. It allows health care providers to make ends meet. It creates a healthier workforce and even saves lives in the long run.
So Governor Cooper will announce when the Medicaid expansion will launch today at 1 p.m. at the North Carolina Executive Mansion. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Starting today, you can start ordering more free at-home COVID-19 tests from the federal government. The Biden administration announced the relaunch of the program last week. The first time around, they sent out more than 750 million tests to homes across the nation. They've decided to offer more tests as medical experts predict another spike in COVID cases. You can request 4 free tests by visiting covidtests.gov. They'll start shipping out next week. The administration says some of them may look like they're expired, but the FDA has extended those expiration dates.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Rocky Mount. Some good news this afternoon. Pfizer has announced that they will restart production after a tornado badly damaged the site there on July 19th. You can see the damage here. This is when the tornado hit. The majority of its manufacturing lines are now back up and running. And Pfizer is doing this through a phased approach with full production across the site's 3 manufacturing sites. That is anticipated by the end of the year. Now, production restart has been prioritized based on patient need and also their inventory levels. There are approximately 13 medicines in production on the lines that have restarted. Some medicines, they say, though, may not be back in full supply until next year. And the impact of this tornado is expected to affect the supply of medicines until, they say, at least mid next year.
Today, work begins in a process that could dramatically change who represents you in the North Carolina General Assembly and on Capitol Hill. State lawmakers will begin drawing new congressional and legislative maps. You want to pay attention to this because those maps divide up our state into different regions and determine where your vote counts. This process has been a hot topic with debate over how these maps are drawn, making it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Lawmakers have scheduled 3 community meetings this week to hear from the public. They're in Elizabeth City today, Hickory on Tuesday, and Raleigh on Wednesday. Anyone who wants to speak has to sign up online ahead of time. You can also find links in our story on WREL.com for more details.
A road is closed in North Raleigh after a water main break. This is on Durant Road near Sharpstone Lane. Crews have repaired the water main break, but now the road needs to be repaved. The main break happened Saturday. It's not clear if all the heavy rain from Ophelia was the cause of this break. A South Carolina woman died after falling off a steep cliff along the Blue Ridge Parkway north of Asheville. This happened Saturday at the Glass Mine Falls Overlook in Buncombe County. First responders had to rappel 150 feet down to find the hiker. Photos posted to Facebook show the steep drop-off. The National Park Service identified the woman as a 61-year-old from Greer, South Carolina.
Hollywood is reacting to news that the Writers Guild has reached a tentative deal. A note to members last night said the agreement is in principle and subject to the final contract language. Chloe Milas explains why writers will not return to work right away and how long it'll take for new episodes and new movies to hit screens.
Yeah. Overnight, the writers' strike reaching its final act. The WGA agreeing to a tentative 3-year deal with the AMPTP, which represents streamers and studios, including NBC Universal's parent company, Comcast. It comes nearly 150 days after film and TV writers walked out on Hollywood and hit the picket lines. While specifics are not yet known, the deal likely promises higher residuals from streaming, higher wages, and protections against AI. In an email to members, the WGA saying, "Though we are eager to share the details of what has been achieved with you, we cannot do that until the last I is dotted."
From day one, we've been hopeful that a deal will be reached because, you know, they're our partners and we love making television with them.
Still, writers will not return to work just yet as they wait for a final contract to be drafted and voted on by members. The union instead encouraging writers to join the actors who remain on strike, meaning it could take weeks or even months for Hollywood to see a full reboot.
No one wants to cross the picket lines.
Writers and actors taking to social media overnight to express their relief, including Michael Shea of Saturday Night Live writing, "I guess we back," and actress Mindy Kaling posting, "Can't wait to go back to work and see my people."
Welcome, everybody!
While daytime and late-night talk shows will likely be the first to be back on air, experts say the summer stoppage in TV production means new episodes of hit scripted shows may not return until next year, replaced this fall with reruns and reality TV. The Hollywood shutdown having big effects on the big screen, too. Studios already pushing back some major movie releases to 2024, including blockbuster sequels like Mission Impossible, Dune, and Gladiator.
Is this not why you are here?
Now with the writers reaching a deal, Hollywood is one step closer to being back in action.
It was Chloe Milas reporting, and the strike isn't over yet, but workers are no longer picketing. The deal isn't done until a final contract is signed. The Writers Guild represents more than 11,000 writers.
Auto workers continue on the picket lines today as their strike continues. That strike expanded Friday, but Ford has avoided additional strikes because the company has met some of the union's demands during negotiations over the past week. GM and Stellantis have rejected the union's proposal for cost of living increases, profit sharing, and job security.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just into the newsroom. Senator Bob Menendez says that he is remaining defiant, refusing to resign after being indicted on bribery charges at the end of last week. He called the legal battle his biggest fight yet. He says the allegations leveled against me are just that, allegations. Menendez and his wife Nadine are accused of accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in exchange for the senator's influence. This afternoon, he says cash that was found in his home was actually his own personal cash and not from bribe proceeds. He is charged with three crimes. He'll be in court on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m.
This afternoon, Cary police are looking to make arrests after at least four break-ins at businesses on Cary Parkway. The break-ins happened early yesterday morning at Chinese number one restaurant, Sweet Tea Boba, and a Subway sandwich shop, as well as the Bliss gas station. Chinese number one, the door was broken. No cash was taken, though, at nearby Sweet Tea Boba. The whole cash register was ripped out and stolen. Doors were also broken and cash taken from Subway and the Bliss gas station. The owner of Chinese number one told WREL this is the second time her restaurant has been robbed in the past 2 years.
Small business is not easy, though. We tried our best to survive, to keep it going. I don't know. It's like it's scary.
Police say this weekend's break-ins are likely connected, but they are still investigating.
A well-known Raleigh restaurant is closing its doors after more than three decades. An Instagram post from Humble Pie says, "With full and heavy hearts, we will turn out the lights after service this week." The heartfelt post thanks customers for the years of service and support through good times and bad. Humble Pie is on Harrington Street in the Warehouse District in downtown Raleigh.
Looking forward to a large Powerball jackpot tonight, the fourth largest in the game's history. It is now at an estimated $785 million after another drawing Saturday night happened without a grand prize winner. This is the second biggest prize this year after a player in California won a jackpot of more than $1 billion in July. If you win tonight's drawing, your take-home cash value would be about $367 million. You can watch the drawing live right here on WREL right before our 11 o'clock news.
Next at noon, El Paso is working to keep up with the surge in migrants entering the country. The city's latest efforts to shelter everyone coming in.
Also, 89-year-old actress Sophia Loren fell and broke her hip. We'll have the latest on her recovery efforts.
Plus, the story of a golf cart driver leading police on a low-speed pursuit, all with a dog on their lap. You don't hear this every day. Let's turn to meteorologist Kat Campbell.
And right on cue, fall started Saturday. We've got a week of some fall feeling, temperatures ahead. I'll let you know what brings the big change and when coming up.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Sophia Loren is recovering from a bad fall that caused multiple fractures. A spokesperson for the actress says her emergency surgery went well, and now we only need to wait. The Hollywood Reporter says the 89-year-old fell in her bathroom and fractured her hip and femur. She lives in Switzerland now and is one of the last surviving stars from Hollywood's golden age. Today, Jewish people around the world will observe Yom Kippur. It's the holiest day of the year in Judaism. Prayers were held this past weekend at the Western Wall of Jerusalem. Observers will fast until sunset and focus on repentance and asking for the forgiveness of their sins.
In El Paso, Texas, an overflow shelter is open to handle a surge of migrants coming into the U.S. This is video showing a group of migrants crossing the Rio Grande River early this morning. The new facility can hold about 400 people, but officials say that's not nearly enough. They say El Paso already has about 6,500 migrants and is receiving more than 2,000 every day. The city has sheltered over 7,000 migrants and served more than 16,000 meals in the last 10 days. Russian strikes overnight targeting a port city in Ukraine killed at least two people. According to Ukraine defense officials, 19 drones and 11 missiles were intercepted and shot down. but they say falling debris resulted in significant damage. New video shows what's left of a hotel that caught on fire at the sea station. Fortunately, it is not in use right now. The war in Ukraine is in its 20th month.
More than $1 billion in federal funding will help improve railroad infrastructure safety. This morning, the Biden administration announced the money will go towards 70 projects in 35 states. That includes one project in Western North Carolina and a second project in Greensboro. The rail investments come after a series of high-profile rail accidents, including the toxic derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Notably, none of the funding is earmarked for that community. A White House official says that's because there were no grant applications from that town.
A proposed merger for Booking.com and its Swiss online travel agency counterpart was blocked today. The European Union said the proposed nearly $2 billion deal for Booking to acquire Swedish peer eTravel Group would lead to less options for consumers, fewer options. It would lead to higher costs for flights, accommodations, car rentals, and attractions. Booking said it would challenge the European Commission's veto, which won unconditional approval in the U.S. and Britain.
A low-speed golf cart chase is not something you hear about every day. Police chased a golf cart through San Fernando Valley in a bizarre pursuit yesterday. LAPD responded to a report of a possible stolen golf cart and assault with a deadly weapon. The driver had a dog in their lap during the chase. Now, because of the small size of the cart, the driver was able to squeeze between police cruisers and evade officers. The driver was eventually arrested, and the dog was taken to animal care. No doubt there was continuous coverage, and people were riveted to that coverage.
Yeah. Low-speed chase golf cart. That is just a weird scene going through the streets of L.A. right there.
Very strange.
All right, Kat Campbell is over in the WRO Severe Weather Center with this taste of fall that is on the way, Kat.
It's my favorite time of year. Fall officially started on Saturday, and today is actually going to be the warmest day of the week. After today, high temperatures are going to be in the 70s every single day for the remainder of the week. Our normal high this time of year is 80, so these are actually below normal temperatures for us. However, I want to bring up a couple parts of this fall feel. It's not going to be as crisp feeling. We are going to have a little bit more moisture out there, and the mornings won't be quite as cool. But the afternoons with the cloudy skies, it's going to take on a fall feel out there. And this is all the cloud cover, and this is the front that we are tracking. It is what we call a backdoor cold front. And while it has a little bit of a funny name to it, typically we see our fronts approach from the west and move to the east. This one drops in from the north. And typically these kinds of cold fronts bring a pretty quick snap and change in temperature. So we're going to see that happen tonight. We're also going to see all the cloud cover pushing in. So this front is what delivers some of the cooler air behind it starting tomorrow. But I do want to mention a few light showers can't be ruled out tonight. We have a 20% chance at pretty much any point this evening through early tomorrow morning. It wouldn't last long. It wouldn't be heavy. Very low impact. Behind this front, it's also going to be quite breezy tomorrow with the cloudy skies, the breeze, and temperatures in the 70s. It's going to have that nice cozy fall feel to the day. Today, though, it's nice outside. Enjoy the sunshine because we just don't have a lot of sun in the forecast this week. High temperatures today already seeing that range from north to south because that cold front is already draped across our northern counties. Should be in the upper 70s for Roxborough and South Hill, low to mid 80s for the Triangle, Rocky Mount, and even mid to perhaps upper 80s for our southern counties today. Outside right now, we're sitting at 80 degrees in Durham, Raleigh, and Fayetteville. You can see the sunshine peeking through, making for a beautiful start to the week. If you want to head out on a nice long dog walk, it's going to be the day to do it. Looking ahead, 3-4 o'clock, we should be right around our high temperatures as we get toward dinner time tonight in the upper 70s, and then falling into the 60s once we get to about 11 o'clock. Low temperatures tonight, not all that cool, pretty close to normal for this time of year. Lows dip into the upper 50s to lower 60s for most of us. And I did want to point out with the cloud cover tomorrow, we're going to see more clouds than sun. However, it's not necessarily going to be a full overcast throughout the day tomorrow. So, you know, you may need your sunglasses at times, but it's going to take on a different look and definitely a different feel, especially with a northeast wind around 10 to 15 miles per hour. We go from 83 today back into the 70s for the remainder remainder of the week. As I mentioned, more clouds than sun, and we do have a couple of small chances for rain coming late Thursday and again late Friday. It doesn't look like it would be a big rainmaker for us, so if you do have a garden that needs tending to, it's a good week to make sure that you keep watering. Just some low rain chances, but it's not going to add up to much. You may be able to hold off, though. After all the rain we saw this weekend, you may not need to water again until closer to the end of the week.
Kat, thank you. Tonight on our evening news, Five on Your Side examines the rising cost of car insurance, what's driving it up, and three things you can do to bring your bill down today at 5:30.
Plus, WRL investigates campus security plans. Tonight at 6, the one major safety lesson that isn't required at the Triangle's Big Three schools. And still straight ahead this noon, Raleigh's big music festival, Dreamville, and the Super Bowl have something in common. We'll tell you what has linked these two.
And the IRS is cracking down on ticket resales. Ahead, what they're watching for so you don't wind up on their radar. The Super Bowl halftime lineup is set. We'll tell you who's headlining. And credit card losses are rising. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Credit card losses are rising at the fastest pace since the financial crisis. Losses for credit card companies have jumped to 3.6%. That's according to a Goldman Sachs report. That's up 1.5 percentage points from just 2 years ago. And that increase in the rate of losses hasn't been seen since the recession of 2008. It comes as Americans owe a record $1 trillion on credit cards, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The IRS is going to know if you made a nice profit selling those Taylor Swift tickets under a new rule this year. Ticketmaster and StubHub and others have to report data on users selling more than $600 worth of tickets. Now, previously, ticket selling platforms had to send the 1099-K form if a user received more than $20,000 in revenue and had more than 200 transactions. The new rule with the lower amount is meant to make it harder for people to avoid reporting income from tickets to concerts and sporting events. The change was included as part of the COVID relief package from 2021, and it takes effect this year. Usher will headline the Super Bowl halftime show. The Grammy winner will perform at the February 11th NFL Championship in Las Vegas. Now, Usher rocketed to superstardom with his 2004 album Confessions. It sold more than 10 million copies in the U.S. and earned his 8 Grammy nominations. Usher joins past Super Bowl performers, including Beyonce, Madonna, and Lady Gaga. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Usher, of course, made the appearance at Dreamville last year. Taylor Swift, meantime, is using her platform to encourage her followers to vote, and it's paying off. Nonprofit organization Vote.org took note of the results of her voter influence. More than 35,000 registrations were recorded by the site Swift linked to her post. It's not known how many votes were a result of that post, but Vote.org says it saw a 1,200% jump in registration activity an hour after she shared her post. A federal class action claim accuses TikTok of racial discrimination and bias. Two former employees who are black say in the claim they received worse treatment than white peers working for TikTok. They allege managers used racial smears, retaliation, and later fired the two after complaints were taken to human resources. TikTok says its anti-discrimination policies are strong and it is taking the matter seriously.
A new goal of building a strong workforce is top of mind for Google. How the company is working to achieve that goal right here in North Carolina.
Plus, lawmakers work throughout the weekend to try to avoid a government shutdown. The snowball effect that would come from a shutdown and how it could impact you.
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The deadline for a government shutdown is less than a week away.
Lawmakers work through the weekend to try and reach a deal, and D.C. is planning for the worst. John Lawrence reports the impacts of a government shutdown will have a snowball effect.
Congress has until Saturday to make a deal to keep the government funded. But members from both parties aren't feeling optimistic.
If we have a government shutdown, which I'm sad to say at this point looks likely, it will be because there are a couple dozen Republican members at least who want a government shutdown.
GOP Rep. Tim Burchett of Tennessee is among those holding his ground.
The American public knows what we're up to, and they're sick and tired of it. That's why folks like me, we're sticking to our guns, and all of a sudden we're the bad guys because we want to balance our budget.
Should the shutdown occur, nearly 4 million federal employees will be affected immediately, including the non-essential workers being furloughed until the shutdown is over. It would also have a snowball effect across the U.S., including the Bureau of Labor Statistics not releasing financial data, which would make it hard for the Federal Reserve and investors to figure out the economy. And the White House says travel will be affected as well by air traffic controllers and TSA workers not getting paid to work. While there are discussions about how to keep things running,
let's pass a 30 to 60 day continuing resolution. Let's make sure it's not loaded up.
It appears to be an uphill battle.
You can't keep spending $7 trillion when you're only taking in $5 trillion. That just doesn't work.
While pay for millions of federal workers would be affected under a government shutdown, Social Security checks would continue to go out, Medicare and Medicaid programs would remain intact, and the U.S. Postal Service would stay open.
Google is investing $2 million to support apprenticeship programs in the Carolinas. WRL's Destiny Patterson is at Wake Tech's RTP campus, where local leaders met this morning to talk about this. Destiny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jeff. That meeting just wrapped up within the last hour, and there's a common goal. That's building a strong workforce. Google is investing $2 million, and it'll be in the form of a grant to the Urban Institute. It's meant to expand and build apprenticeships in tech for small and medium-sized businesses. Apprentices will get paid training on the job, classroom learning, and mentorships. It comes through Google's philanthropy, which is google.org. A spokesperson for Google says this opens the door to a wider labor market.
Been very supportive of these types of job development programs. To work at Google, you do not need to have a college degree, but you do need to have skills. And it's through these partnerships that we're able to develop those skills for folks.
That program will run through 2025, and the goal is to hire 200 registered apprentices from both North and South Carolina for tech jobs. Jeff.
Destiny Patterson with that good news from RTP live for us this noon. Thanks, Destiny.
The group that owns PNC Arena is expected to move forward with plans to upgrade the experience for fans attending games and events. The Centennial Authority is meeting to vote on the enhancement design contract for the arena with architecture firm Ratio. This is part of a $300 million renovation project for the arena and the surrounding area. Officials say the design process is in its early stages, but here's a glimpse of the vision. The exact plans for fan upgrades have yet to be fully developed. Earlier this year, the board signed a lease extension that will keep the Carolina Hurricanes at PNC Arena through 2044.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, scary moments earlier this morning. The Pittsburgh Steelers charter plane had to make an emergency landing at the Kansas International Airport just before 4 a.m. this morning. A spokesperson with the team confirmed that everybody was safe following this emergency landing. There were 182 people on board the Delta Airlines flight. The right engine reported low engine pressure and the engine shut down, but the aircraft landed safely and taxied under its own power. The team did have to stay on the plane and wait for another one to come that arrived about 9:30 this morning. By 10:30 in the morning, they were back up in the air. They were fresh from a win over the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football.
People in Pittsburgh can get free, safe drinking water as that town addresses concerns about cancerous forever chemicals in its water system. Free reverse osmosis treated water is available in the town's water to the town's water customers. There have been ongoing concerns about the drinking water since the discovery 4 years ago of high levels of some of those forever chemicals in the Haw River. Customers can fill their jugs and bottles with treated water at Chatham Marketplace on Hillsborough Street.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wilson, Halifax, and Harnett counties today. The Harnett Regional Water Treatment Plant could soon be part of the state pilot program to test for PFAS. Tomorrow night, county commissioners will discuss this during their work session. PFAS are often referred to as forever chemicals. They've been linked to cancer. The pilot program would involve water testing and could result in new water treatment facilities.
In Halifax County, organizers of the upcoming Harvest Days Festival are calling on local artisans. Space is still available for arts and crafts vendors. The fall festival includes live music, line dancing, hay wagon rides, and historic reenactments. Harvest Days is October 20th and 21st at the 4-H Rural Life Center in Halifax.
Today is your last chance to visit the Wilson County Fair this year. The festivities were paused Saturday because of Tropical Storm Ophelia. So organizers extended the fair through today to make up for Saturday. Get your fair fix.
It's finally beginning to feel like fall this week, and that means it's time to get your tickets for the Triangle's newest walk-through holiday light event. The DBAP will be transformed into Woolies Winter Wonderland, bringing joy and holiday fun to family and friends all across our viewing area. It happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can enjoy shopping, get your picture with Santa, or take a ride on the holiday train. To buy tickets, visit WRL.com and enter Wonderland in the search bar to learn more.
Still to come, a sobering number from the New York Fire Department. 343 firefighters have died from 9/11 related illnesses. Why that number, 343, is significant and haunting.
Plus, are you a seasoned professional? Let that be an asset and not a drawback on your resume. How to make your resume stand out without looking dated.
We now know the number of firefighters who've died from 9/11 related illnesses has reached 343. That's the same number of firefighters who lost their lives on the day of the attack 22 years ago. That's according to the New York Fire Department. They say 11,000 firefighters currently suffer from 9/11 related diseases, including 3,500 with cancer. Two firefighter unions are expected to hold a news conference in New York today about this new report.
Age discrimination in the workplace often leads to people switching jobs. Human resource experts are sharing ways to help spruce up your resume for job transitions. One way is to include only your last 15 years of work, not all your jobs. Don't put graduation dates in education backgrounds. Don't use old-style email addresses signaling that you're not up on tech. And list experiences showing that you can deliver, adapt, and grow.
People who receive SNAP benefits will soon be able to have more options to purchase food. Uber Eats announced it will allow customers to use food stamps for food orders beginning next year. Uber says it's making the change as a way to reduce barriers to fresh groceries. The company also announced it will begin accepting flexible spending account cards and flex cards that are issued through managed Medicaid and Medicare Advantage.
It is that time of year again. IBMA Bluegrass Live is back this weekend, and it's time to buy tickets. The festival begins Friday at 5 and runs through Saturday. Downtown Raleigh has its banjo countdown clock out, and it is ticking down to the big event. You can download the World of Bluegrass app for free to get the full schedule, artist info, and an interactive map. You can buy tickets online at worldofbluegrass.org. WRL is a proud community sponsor, and you can stop by our booth during the festival. This morning, SpaceX had another successful launch.
And liftoff of Falcon 9. Go SpaceX.
What this rocket carried into orbit that could help someone you know.
Plus, here's a live look at downtown Apex. We could hit 80 degrees today. Ahead, meteorologist Kat Campbell times out when it will start to feel like fall. It's a historic first, and scientists hope they're one step closer to learning more about how the Earth may have formed. It's all thanks to samples NASA collected from an asteroid deep in outer space. Chris DeMeo takes a look at what clues researchers say the debris may hold.
It's a historic space-age spectacle, a capsule containing the first asteroid samples NASA has ever collected from the final frontier, safely landed on Earth Sunday. This after being released from the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft roughly 63,000 miles above the planet.
We think we've got a lot of sample in that science canister, and we can't wait to crack into it.
The samples were taken from an asteroid called Bennu, and scientists hope the contents can unlock new clues about the formation of the Earth and our solar system.
Asteroids are the leftover remnants from solar system formation. So they're a pristine example of planetary building blocks, and studying them helps us to understand how the Earth and all of the planets in our solar system were formed.
And one of the driving objectives of this program is to try to understand, did carbon-rich asteroids like Bennu deliver the compounds that may have led to the origin of life on our planet? Are there clay minerals there? Are there carbonate minerals? Are there organic molecules? Do we see the iron oxides, the other things that we predicted on the asteroid surface?
The OSIRIS-REx spacecraft began its mission to Bennu back in 2016. It finally made it to the asteroid 2 years later.
And then we spent about 2 years mapping the surface down to the finest detail, the smallest pebbles, looking at composition and basically trying to find that safe place where we'd be able to grab a sample. We took the sample in October 2020. We left in a couple months later, and it took all the rest of that time to come back to the Earth.
The samples will now head to the Johnson Space Center in Texas, where they'll be reviewed and studied. Officials estimate they've gathered at least one cup worth of asteroid rubble.
That was Chris DeMeo reporting. After the spacecraft dropped the capsule off, it turned around, is already out on its next mission to a new asteroid.
This morning, SpaceX team celebrated another successful launch.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And liftoff of Falcon 9. Go SpaceX, go Starlink Group 7-3.
That was at 4:48 this morning at the Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. A Falcon 9 rocket is carrying 21 Starlink internet satellites into orbit. Satellites will provide internet services to different parts of the world. SpaceX recently announced it has signed up over 2 million subscribers in more than 60 countries for its Starlink internet service. Since 2019, more than 5,100 satellites have been launched. All around there in space, getting people to different areas access. The Pacific Northwest, meantime, bracing for an atmospheric river. We are seeing risks of heavy rain and landslides from Northern California to Western Oregon and Washington. Flood watches have also been issued for those areas. This rainfall could be a welcome relief as California and Oregon are experiencing severe drought conditions. It could also help contain several fires right along the coast there. Much needed. We needed some rain. We got it. Now it's on the way out.
Yeah, well, thanks to Tropical Storm Ophelia, right? We all got a good dose of rain. We were drying out this week, but there are some other storms waiting in the wings, so to speak, in the tropics. Kat Campbell tracking it all for us.
Unfortunately, hurricane season is not over yet. It's actually not over until the end of November, but typically as we get into October, things begin to quiet down in the Atlantic Basin. So let's take a look at what we've got out there right now. We've got this system and this one that have chances of developing. And then we've got Tropical Storm Philippe out in the Atlantic. Tropical Storm Philippe at this point looks like it is likely to go out to sea. And it is forecast to remain a tropical storm. Pretty much top winds of 50 miles per hour for its entire track here. It's pretty unusual that you wouldn't see some kind of intensity fluctuation, but it's 50 miles per hour right now for the top winds, expected to stay there even through the next 5 days. The model plots, for the most part, carry this to the north eventually. Not a big concern from Philippe. That's the one we were telling you about in addition to Ophelia last week. So we've been watching it and kind of watching the trends for a while, and it's really unlikely to impact land, but there are two other systems out here to watch. There's one closer to home in the Gulf of Mexico. Basically, with this one, if it's going to develop, it's got to develop fast, because as it drifts west over the next couple of days, it's going to be moving into an area that's much less favorable for environment, but much less favorable for development in that environment. But then we've got this system out here, which is to the east of Philippe. It's got about an 80% chance of developing, and models are certainly developing that one. If we look at the model plots for that system a little farther out to sea, it is still more than likely that it would curve to the north. However, we're still pretty early in the lifespan of that system, so it's going to be one to watch. In Clinton, if we take a look outside, it is bright, it is beautiful, a nice clear blue sky in Clinton. Finally able to dry out a bit. This is a live look from Alfredo's Italian restaurant downtown there. And if you do want to head out for a walk this afternoon, temperatures around the upper 70s to lower 80s. It ends up being a beautiful day. Today is when you will see the most sunshine of the next several days. We'll stay mostly cloudy, not necessarily a full overcast, but more clouds than sun for the next 3 days. And that's one of the reasons that our high temperatures only managed to reach the 70s
giving it a fall feel, especially with the breeze tomorrow. Here's where we're different. We have had some mornings lately where we've been in the 50s, those cooler, crisp mornings. We're not necessarily going to be as cool and crisp in the mornings, and that's because of the cloud cover in place. It prevents temperatures from falling as far overnight. So our normal low this time of year is 60. We're going to hover around that number all week long. The coolest morning may end up being on Thursday morning. Because of the clouds, we don't necessarily have as crisp of a feel in the air, but it's going to be cool outside with a breeze. I think we'll still take on more of a fall feel in the coming days. Rain chances on the low side. We've got a small 20% chance for rain tonight as the cold front drops in from the north that brings some of the cooler weather that we'll be seeing all the way through the weekend. We could be dealing with high temperatures in the 70s. It's right on cue. You know, fall started on Saturday. We've got a nice fall forecast to look forward to. But if you're a fan of the warmer weather and sunshine, try to make the most of today. Renee and Jeff.
Oh, the next 7 days look pretty good to me. Kat, thank you. It's something you don't usually see in the Midwest. Flamingos outside of a zoo and on a beach in Wisconsin. What may have brought them in next?
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. In just a few minutes, we will find out when Medicaid will expand for hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina. This comes just days after lawmakers agreed on and approved the new budget. Governor Roy Cooper says he will allow it to become law without his signature. The governor will announce the launch date this afternoon at the North Carolina Executive Mansion.
New today, Pfizer restarted manufacturing lines at its Rocky Mount facility. An EF3 tornado hit the area in July, damaging about 40,000 pallets of packaging supplies and medicine. Pfizer says it restarted production of 13 medicines, but a couple dozen others are still stalled. The plant will not fully reopen until the end of this year.
Google's investing $2 million to support apprenticeship programs in the Carolinas. Leaders met today at Wake Tech's RTP campus with the same goal, building a strong workforce. The grant is meant to expand and build apprenticeships in tech for small and medium-sized businesses. Apprentices will get paid training on the job, classroom learning, and mentorships.
Port Washington Beach in Wisconsin was looking more like Miami thanks to a visit from a bunch of flamingos. Experts say the birds landed in Wisconsin after being diverted by a dahlia. Word of the visitor spread fast, and many birders and photographers hit the port to catch a glimpse.
You get the butterflies. Even I was just saying people before, like you can see the people that just showed up, how jittery they are at first when they show up.
One person even said they had tears in their eyes when they saw the flamingos. Earlier this month, we told you about flamingo sightings in Kentucky, Ohio, and even in our state along the Outer Banks.
Football fans and Swifties both had something to talk about last night. After weeks of speculation, we're getting a bit closer to the answer about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's love story. Swift took up her rumored boyfriend's invite to attend the Kansas City Chiefs game against the Chicago Bears, and she sat right next to Kelce's mother in his suite to cheer him on. And then she was spotted leaving with Kelce after the game.
We have two very special pets of the day today from Safe Haven for Cats. Estelada and Crescent Moon are not related, but you'd think they'd be mother and daughter. Crescent Moon is a black and white domestic short hair. She's a one-year-old female. Estelada is a domestic short hair Torby. She's an 18-week-old kitten. Look at her, so playful. You can visit the cats on Garvey Drive in Raleigh or see their profiles online at safehavenforcats.org.
That's pretty cute.
Go out and enjoy the temperatures today if you like it warm. Today will be the warmest day of the week. And then for those of you who've been waiting for fall, it's coming.
Change
tomorrow.
Is coming. Yeah, this is the first full week of fall and we're going to feel the effects. It's going to be great.
I, for one, cannot wait. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.